This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. Donald Trump reaffirmed what all presidents before him did on May 1st of this year since Eisenhower by announcing May 1st as Loyalty Day. But May Day, known throughout the world, is marked by working class people to express support for labor rights and the might of unions. At the May Day March in Los Angeles, where this program is based, a very small number of Trump supporters showed up to antagonize May Day marchers, holding signs that read, USA made by legal immigration, DNC party of hate, and Islam is racist. Today, we'll continue our May Day coverage with a look at the special political context of this year's marches and how the Trump presidency has changed the game.
I don't see any nepotism signs. Where are the nepotism signs at? What has it done for you lately? I don't see any nepotism signs.
My name is Hamid Khan. I'm with the Stop LAPD Spying Coalition, and today we're just documenting all the surveillance equipment of the state and how they're infiltrating the marches and everything.
So definitely want to talk about the LAPD, but we happen to be at a point in the May Day events in Los Angeles where a small gathering of Trump supporters has shown up and another small gathering of May Day protesters has gotten a little upset about that. What do you make of this confrontation? I mean, you know, you don't expect to see it in LA, but it is happening in country, in all parts of the country.
Right. Well, I mean, in a way, but we do expect to see it in LA, because if you remember about 3 years ago, 4 years ago, there was a whole neo-Nazi march right over here where the Klan was on the other side. The Nazis were on the other across the street and they were rallying. So, you know, this has given rise to a lot of white nationalists and fascist groups. There's a very large contingent of them in Southern California. So that's where they're here.
And Can you for sure identify these groups as part of a white nationalist movement? All I see is We Love America, American flags, and Trump Pence signs.
Well, so the We Love America for white nationalist groups is about misogyny. It is about control. It is about dominance. It is about white supremacy. It is about xenophobia. So everything that they're saying is very much about white nationalists and the neo-Nazi groups that are out there. I think under the guise of Trump, and of course Trump kind of represents somebody who's created an open season for these people as well and just like giving them an open mic.
There was one sign saying ice, ice, baby, that right. Just...
And that's the cheap thrill and that's the sensationalism that they're going to build in this culture. So they're definitely here in full force.
What do you make of those folks who are so angry by the presence of the Trump supporters that they're spending some of their energy and voice to kind of reply them and engage them? Is that worth doing?
Well, I mean, I think today is International Workers Solidarity Day. We're talking about the impact of capitalism. We're talking about the impact of imperialism. So people are out there and people are also reaching out to these folks too, that yo, this is an equal opportunity oppression. So you are being oppressed by that as well, so don't get caught up. But I think it's this classic move within the system that it just divides people based on race and it kind of makes the other as the enemy, and that's what's going on.
May Day marches have traditionally been immigrant workers' day. But Trump has announced and reminded us that today is supposed to be Loyalty Day in the United States. I wonder if that's what they're supporting or expressing support for.
Absolutely. I mean, on one hand, I mean, and that's the almost the schizophrenia of the system itself, that they're talking about loyalty. I mean, loyalty to whom? Of course, he demands loyalty and an oath that people take on his hand. But I think the promise, or the so-called promise of the United States, I mean, that is a broken promise for many people. So in essence, that's what people are saying. And Trump is, you know, he is what he is. He's somebody who is a show person. He is somebody who is there for his own selfish reasons. So he's gonna demand these things and push people to be loyal to him.
There's a very low police, visible police presence today. Some of the police that are here today are standing in between the May Day marchers and the Trump supporters. But how else is the LAPD present? You talked about LAPD surveillance.
Right. So there's quite a bit of surveillance equipment that the LAPD has been using. We just saw a equipment called Freedom on the Move, which is on a flatbed truck that basically is like a submarine thing that comes out of the water, and that has infrared, that has various forms of high definition lenses, so it picks up your facial recognition, it picks up all your information.
It's riding through the march?
It was actually out in the periphery, and then it comes in and then it leaves, so we were able to document that. There's also various other forms of satellite dishes and the communication information. And given the advancements in the real-time facial recognition technology, people's information is being picked up in the marches, and body cameras are now a huge tool for surveillance. So all of these equipment is in play and people's information is being gathered.
How does the LAPD justify keeping track of folks who show up to a May Day march? What are they doing with all that information?
Well, I mean, I think because now what they do is that given the rise and the expansion of predictive algorithms, they just gather all this information. It goes into these data processing sites, and trying to identify and claiming that they can identify that who could have been committing or maybe thinking of doing something wrong. I mean, I think that's where we are heading on to, which is really bogus.
And thought police.
It's all thought police. It's speculative police. It's hunch policing. But ultimately, it's going to be people of color, poor people, and everybody else is going to be impacted.
And you've been engaged in this work for a number of years now. How have you been able to fight back? It's not just in Los Angeles, but a lot of police departments around the country are adopting this kind of surveillance technology. Have there been any successes on the part of civil rights activists like yourself to push back?
I mean, we've been successful in keeping the LAPD's drones grounded, which they launched 3 years ago. Our current fight is against the sheriff's drones, and that's a continuing fight. We've been able to push them and force them and put out reports, which is clearly showing racial profiling. We filed a lawsuit against the LAPD in December of 2015 for not releasing information. Then we're also sharing our work and research with a lot of other cities as well. We are getting ready to release a report on predictive policing in the next couple of months, and we'll let you know.
Thank you so much, Hamed.
Thank you, Sonali. Always a pleasure.
My name is Red. I'm just here to support the immigration laws, you know what I mean? I hope that, you know, these people can get up out of here with their jive stuff, because they ain't doing it for playing the people. You know, and it's sad because a lot of people they dispersing people's family from each other, and they building new prisons. So just like they did the black people back in the days with the drugs and stuff and put them all in prison, this is what's happening now. They finna put these people in these prisons they talking about building until they can get some kind of clearance or whatever they're going to do with them. And the sad part about it is that, you know, they putting it in our face bluntly. But a warning to the people, it's 33 penitentiaries in California. And the mass majority of the people is black and brown that's in there. So the rest, what these prisons they finna build is for the rest of these people that they finna gaffle up, and it's really sad.
So you are very enterprisingly selling some eloquent T-shirts today that say F Donald Trump.
Donald Trump, to you and Ivanka. I don't even care. That's for you and Ivanka. So sit up in the White House and be a trick.
Have you been selling well?
Selling them? Yes, I sell shirts all the time.
Have you been doing well with these shirts?
Yeah, I do real well with them. Look, I ain't selling no drugs, so I know people will come and buy them. If I was selling drugs, I guess they probably would like it, because I know they've been to build these prisons, and I know they probably want me there. Never again. Never again. So Donald Trump know what he can do. Him.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Hi, my name's Oscar Sanchez, and I'm here because it's May 1st, and it's a very important day internationally for everyone, and it's a celebration of a struggle that happened here in the U.S. that started the 8-hour workday, and obviously it's a Monday. I took the day off to come out here, and that's the main reason I'm here. The other reasons are the current political situation in Washington, and the things that the President Trump is doing to eliminate all those things that we've been working so hard for over the years. It's taken a lot of work to get to where we are, and he's pushing everything back on the environment, women's rights, people's working conditions, and a bunch of other things.
You've been active politically for many years, and I remember seeing you on the streets during the Bush years. And did you ever think back then that it could get worse than the Bush years?
Actually, I was just thinking about that. I heard some quotes from W. Bush, and I was like, wow, that's a good guy. Like, how could it? They were like so, you know, it was something about like the Muslims are, you know, are we should respect them or something like that in regards to Muslims and human rights. And it was odd because I thought he was the worst thing ever. And it's gotten really bad, and it's unbelievable that we're here in this position. We have people from all over the country who have actually lived through, like my example, I lived through a civil war, and
in El Salvador,
and coming to this country as an immigrant with no papers, and being able to achieve some legal status here, I can feel what other people in those positions are feeling. We need to let people in who are suffering, because it's not their choice. And it's here, people are here because of work, because there's lack of work, lack of healthcare, lack of human rights in other countries, and they come here. And for us immigrants and the great diversity of Los Angeles City to start seeing that that's getting pushed back, it offends us. We know that we need all those rights that we've achieved so far.
Oscar, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
My name is Lisette Perez. I'm here to represent for the May Day March and coming on my own, basically, but I am the secretary for the Boyle Heights Neighborhood Council, as well as one of the leaders with the Boyle Heights Bridge Runners.
So you do local organizing. In this era of big marches, how do you make the connections between the organizing happening nationally and the organizing happening locally?
I think organizing is a staple, and it's necessary anywhere you are. You don't have to be nationally, it doesn't have to be locally, but I think locally is where it's needed. Door to doors, attending your neighborhood council meetings, being active, fighting for what you believe in. And not just being a spectator or watching the news. You actually have to apply it and put action into it. Vote, read, stay up to date on all the facts.
Okay, so Boyle Heights has been a community very hard hit by immigration enforcement. How has that entered into the work that you do?
Well, Boyle Heights has been, I think, a target for many things as well, many, many issues, gentrification being the highlight of all of it, as well as, like you said, immigration raids. We're still in the process, I think, of learning how to mitigate it, definitely informing renters of their rights. Informing them that of their rights to not have to open up doors, and properly informing them, connecting them with resources, legal resources as well, and hosting free events that we offer, where we offer information. And there's other organizations like Defund Boyle Heights has also been birthed out of just because of the uproar of all the issues and the attack on our citizens.
And parents having to come up with contingency plans for their children if they get picked up by immigration?
Correct. I mean, it's all ages, really. And it's staying, if nothing else, I think it's maybe going to have people a little scared, right? Or they're going to be fearful of trying to come out to the community, showing their face, even to attend marches, because word of mouth, lying about, you know, they're gonna be raids here, and it's not being fearful. It's knowing your rights, knowing what you have to say, what you don't have to say, and just, you know, being informed. I think attending your neighborhood council meetings and engaging. I think people need civic public engagement, and that's where you can clearly see today it's not falling short of that.
So not just attending marches, but day-to-day organizing, right?
Correct, correct. It is day-to-day. This is a never-ending, never-ending battle.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's part of our special report from May Day in Los Angeles, one of many marches that took place this past Monday around the United States. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.